herzlich willkommen, Saal Zusel. Schön, dass ihr alle da seid.
Welcome in Hall Zusel. It's very nice to have you all in here today.
Ja, Applaus macht es immer leichter, auch für uns hier oben. Genau, ist ja auch wieder mein erstes Mal, dass ich hier
bin. It's always easier with applause. This is actually my first time up here on stage as a Herald, meaning that I'm a bit nervous as well. I've actually put on some nice clothes for you especially.
Ja, das lenkt ein bisschen ab.
It diverts from the shivering hands. The next talk is about digital violence, and when I was looking at the issue, I had to think of my startup that actually went bust, sadly, and the Google reviews that it received. And these can actually be the nail in the coffin. And the perfidious thing about it is there is a whole industry that deals with deleting these reviews. Digital violence is much more, though, than just Google reviews, and it's important to talk about this, and for that we have an expert, and that is Anne Roth. Anne Roth is probably known for 20 or 30 years in the net politics bubble. Yeah, I think you can say that, right? You have been around for a long time, and I've read many articles from you. I've always stumbled across your name. So Anne is not an unknown by any means. She has been working in the German parliament on net politics, and she's going to talk about digital violence. I'm not going to lose much time. So I'm unlocking the stage for Anne, and I'm looking forward to a huge applause. Have fun with the talk.
Thank you.
Ich glaube, so alt bin ich dann doch
noch. I am not that old yet.
Schönen guten Tag.
Welcome everybody.
Es tut mir ganz furchtbar leid. Ich muss mit einer.
I am very sorry, but I have to start with bad news.
Vielleicht werdet ihr nach diesem Talk
maybe after this talk today, you never want to enjoy a holiday home again.
Jetzt ist die letzte Gelegenheit noch rechtzeitig
maybe
zu gehen.
Yeah. Now is the right time to enjoy it for the last time.
Ganz normale Kleiderhaken.
What you can see here are coat hangers, but they do have a mini camera built into them. Not expensive, very easy to find on the net. You can Google them. It's not illegal, unless the camera would broadcast the picture immediately. Then it would be illegal, according to a German information security law. Like this, a chip where you can later look at the material, it's not illegal. Maybe you remember the mini cameras scandal in festivals in northern Germany. There were mini cameras where the material later then came up on pornography platforms. That caused some scandal.
Aus Funk und Fernsehen als Rapperin, aber auch als Wissenschaftlerin, war das ebenfalls erstmals eine Überraschung. Unsichtbare.
And when this came out for the first time, this was actually a surprise. There was a tweet from a German rapper that was just displayed about a meeting with security services, who then proceeded to inspect the toilets. And when she asked why, she got someone held a camera up to her and said, "This is why." Okay, let me try to get back to the slides. Maybe there's a connection that's a bit dodgy. Yes, I hope it's now going to hold. I'm not going to touch it anymore.
Also Lady Betray,
okay, Lady Betray
hatte solche Kameras im Backstage.
She found these cameras in the backstage area. She had no idea, but the security found it. And that seems to be the new norm these days.
Gibt es vermutlich sehr viel öfter als wir.
And I'm sure this happens much more often than you'd think.
Manchmal mit unerwarteten Effekten.
And that can have unexpected effects. If that may be might lead to the fall down of government, but this is about recordings in toilets, showers, bathrooms, bedrooms.
There are
nice ways of trying to find, make the platform operators where these things end up delete the material, and that is very, very challenging on the people that try to get this removed. And this is normally connected with some kind of threat, some kind of blackmailing. Sorry, I'm not touching anything, and the slides still go away.
Mal gucken, wie
das Let me see.
Das Gefühl von Scham,
Now, this feeling of shame, of being exposed, that can actually make you sick. It can lead to psychosomatic symptoms, can lead to suicide. It costs a lot of money and time to get that material back. They may, and these people's lives change, they may have to change jobs, but they always know that materials might reappear and poison their lives. There are dealers and platforms that sell tools to deal with this, and there is apparently no feeling of shame about earning money with these devices by the people that advertise for them. In the US, it worked to confront payment providers with the situation, and maybe that could be tried here as well. Digital violence has many forms. The most well-known of it is hate speech. Threats on the net, and meanwhile, terms are often turned into synonyms. Digital violence is called hate speech. Then you have stalkers, spying apps that make it possible to read everything that's done on a mobile device, chats, conversations, internet searches, or location tracking in real time. Then you have devices such as mini cameras and video recordings using drones. But many myths are actually quite unspectacular technically. You have smartphones being hidden in cars to follow a car, or sent small amounts of money are being transferred onto a bank account connected with an abusive message. Devices are controlled remotely, even a long time after the ex-partner or ex-flatmate has moved out, because someone has installed their technology, and from that point on they know everything that's happening. Or in a violent marriage, the disclosure of passwords is demanded, which makes the violence even worse. So what is digital violence? It's a collective term for various forms of gender-specific violence. It's acts that use technical tools and digital media, mobiles, apps, internet apps, mails, and that exert digital violence in the digital space, online platforms and social platforms. And we assume that digital violence is not separated from analog violence, as it were, but it's mostly a continuation or an expansion of violent relationships and dynamics. This is by the German Association of Women's Counseling Services and Women Emergency Hotlines, and this is the definition I like to use, and others as well. Now, you can remember it slightly more simply by saying digital violence uses technical tools such as cameras, digital medias are used such as email, and it happens in the digital space, for example, on social media. And who is affected? Who is this about? Digital violence in the public space, meaning hate speech, threats, that can happen to everyone, and it happens more to young people than older people, but it happens to members of disadvantaged groups, LGBTQ, for example, people with less education. Women are more often targeted because they often are more visible as well. Digital aspects of violence in the social near field, which is the what you normally call domestic violence, is quite often originating from men, just as violence in relationships as well, and is much more often affects women, but of course they are not just heterosexual relationships. But as a rule, rough rule, you can say the more disadvantaged, the more violence that applies to the public space. And it also has an effect in the way that people are then later dealt with at police services, judges, and counseling services and the like. How often does it happen? How many people are affected? That depends on what you are looking at or what you define as digital violence. So there is no overall statistic, although Germany actually is obligated to produce one. This is a European survey about violence on women during and after the pandemic. The question was how digital violence, whether digital violence was known to the affected people, and online harassment, cyber violence, for example, was the most frequently reported form before harassment on the streets and domestic violence. A British study came to these results in 2017. 45% of the victims of domestic violence reported that the abuse had digital aspects during the relationship, and 48% reported that they were abused or molested online after the relationship had been ended, and 38% reported about online stalking after they had left the relationship, and 75% reported that the police did not know how to best react to online abuse, and 12% tried to report it to police and didn't receive help. These are the impacts. In 2021, The Economist got to these results from 1,662 women that experienced online violence. 45% felt unsafe, 36% felt embarrassment, and 35% experienced emotional harm. 10% experienced offline physical health, and 7% lost their job or had to change their job. In Germany, it was often hard to find interest in the issue. I remind you of the talk I gave 5 years ago at Congress. In the German government, no one knew at the time. Interest wasn't that high. In 2019, there was a screen failure, and well, not in 2019, but right now. This is actually annoying. Now you can see all my beautiful slides more than once. Oh, another failure.
Ich weiß auch nicht.
Not yet. No touching. So, 2019, there was the campaign Stronger Than Violence from the Ministry of Family, with a long name, BMFSFJ, Federal Ministry for Family, Seniors, Women and Youth, that also had the topic of digital violence, and it had as an official fact, there are no official facts, might have been the what the federal government has to do, but it doesn't exist yet as well. What we can do is look close to this. There's like the emergency phone violence against women, but that's not very, very easy to classify because every call only gets one classification. So if domestic violence, or digital violence, that's just 314 cases of digital violence among like 39,500 cases. There's also the image domestic violence of the federal police, where these cases are put together under the abbreviation TMI, which is using the internet as a weapon. The emergency phone doesn't have a lot of cases because most cases are just domestic violence. Why the police has these numbers, I don't really know. I can just assume, like council agencies have low numbers. There are multiple reasons why this might be explanation, why this might be. Police doesn't know or doesn't ask. And with normal police headquarters, local police at home, they might not have the competence or experience to list this. Also new, this is a development in the last few years, the statistics on politically motivated violence. And now, since last year, we are also listing the misogynist and also misandrist categories, even though we know that hate speech against women is additionally also sexist. This criterion was missing till last year. We just didn't list it. But it seems to be that it happens a lot in the net, and the misogynist quality, that this quality is missing, we find quite often when there's violence in the web. If you actually look at it, you see it missing quite often. At least there is a survey now, the dark field study survey. The last one has been 20 years ago. There's supposed to be a new one. People wanted it for a long time. This is in cooperation with the former Minister of the Interior, Horst Seehofer. That had to be age independent, so that has this name that doesn't actually name a gender, as it was avoiding to name who was mostly a victim of domestic violence. Nowadays, the date for the survey is 2025. Let's see what happens there. Also, some penal codes changed the law against upskirting, photography, up the skirt, underneath the skirt. There's the paragraph 184K. There is hate speech and right-wing extremism after the attacks on Halle-Hanau and the politician Lübcke. Also the paragraph 46, where anti-Semitism was added as a cause, and also threatening sexual violence. Also stalking, the paragraph 283 in the penal codes was changed to also include digital aspects in paragraph 46. Hate speech or hate crimes, there was added how harsh a penalty it would have to be, and would also added by gender-specific and other sexual orientations. It was unexpected. If it was changed, why not with this? I don't think that being a misogynist, that misogyny exists, is not a really spleeny thing to believe. And this year in summer, in June, I think, these two motives got added. We already know that societal problems don't vanish because people get punished. That is the same with this topic. I don't think it's wrong to show in even in laws what kind of behavior isn't acceptable in a society, but it isn't enough to actually protect people. Wanting harsher penalties is easy for politicians, since it isn't very work intensive. So they just want to throw the text at people. Sounds nice, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. If you look into the federal spending, this is by Christian Lindner for this year. This changed again, of course, with recent events. but that's still like the first draft from the BMFS yet. For the family ministry, there's 13.4 from of the 300 billion household, and just raising money for children. Yeah, didn't much happen, so that explains the low numbers. There's 12% that had to be reserved for family, and 505 million are for the strengthening of the civil society, families, equalities, and older people. That is part of the topic equality. That's a very small part, fighting digital violence, accepting hate speech that is financed by another ministry, but there's not a lot of money, at least not federal money, for the thing. Just asking for harsher penalties is easy to do, doesn't cost much. There's not a lot of interest apart from that. If you look at the green, yellow, red governments coalition treaty, there was
elektronische Verfahren zur Anzeigenerstattung und für private Verfahren und ermöglichen Richtern we create the the base in the law to electronic ways to go to the police. And
das haben Sie sich vor zwei Jahren in den Koalitionsvertrag geschrieben, wie gesagt, November
21. For 2 years, this, 2 years ago, this was added to the coalition treaty, and since then, nothing happened. It became clear that this task had to go to the Justice Ministry. It is not only about digital violence against women, but more.
Und dann veröffentlichte es die Eckpunkte zum Gesetz gegen digitale Gewalt.
In April this year, the bullet points for the new law were published, and we hope that the problems get addressed now.
Wer in seinen Rechten verletzt wird, muss sich vor Gericht effektiv
So, the Justice Minister said that protection of legal rights is important under the rule of law, and those violating the rights have to be able to defend against that in court, front of the courts, and that extends to the digital space. And he added that people have a problem of enforcing their rights, and that is true. There's a lack of information, and or it depends on time, and we want to change that. We will make it easier to defend against violations in the digital sphere. We're going to change laws. And what did this actually, what were the bullet points? Our objective was an effective protection of rights in the digital sphere. If anyone has been violated in their rights in the digital sphere has to have an effective means of defending against it, and then violations have increased rapidly, offensive speech threats, undermining of reputation. But what it didn't say is that counseling services have to have the right funding and other means. Police and justice have to be sensitized, and the kind of terminology is quite limited often. So cameras, psychoterrorists using smart devices, all that is not covered at the moment. What is also important is to remember that there is no actual draft law. There's just this publication of cornerstones of what the coalition intends to do, the three parties in government. And what they want to do is make it easier to identify account holders through judicial orders. There is a process of several stages. First, retrieve the IP address and then the details, and that way you should also be able to act and prosecute against the offenders and maybe block their accounts as well. And here we get to Groundhog Day, because we find some old acquaintances here. Account holders should have more easier ways of finding out the identities of those that attack them, which means that we don't quite know who is affected, but it's about identifying people on the network. So telecommunications providers are supposed to report what person is linked to an IP address. We have known this, and messenger services who are included should be obliged to hand out data. And everyone who has been around in net politics for more than just a few days will recognize this. And then we get to the restaurant review, which was in the title, and you may ask, what is the connection to restaurant reviews? See, we're waiting for the first draft law. There has been a lot of critique already, but only according to the cornerstones, the bullet points. And the coalition treaty says, or the cornerstones say, that they want to also prosecute people about digital violence affecting a business, and that could be digital violence on the net. So at what point rights are violated is not clear. If I talk about a large housing company in a forum of tenants, and then they feel violated in their digital rights, is that already part of the offense? We don't know. We have some information about the bullet points, and the draft law was supposed to be published in autumn, but it wasn't. And it was clear to me that due to the dissolution of the left party, parliamentary party in the German parliament, which happened in Germany, I didn't have much time. So in November, I wrote a draft for a parliamentary inquiry, which the left party handed in. It was answered in early December. We asked back how the German government was to define digital violence and which problems this law was supposed to solve. And well, whether all these things next to digital violence on platforms would be included. The answer by the Justice Ministry: literally, the term digital violence is about a currently undefined legal term. Yeah, true. And many of these phenomena are mentioned in conjunction with digital violence, and the terms on the slide here: online stalking, stalkerware, dick pics, sextortion, secret recordings, and many more. So, to be sure, we asked whether that was everything that they wanted to do, and the Justice Ministry said, well, online prosecution, online criminal procedures could be started. They call it the law against digital violence, and the answer is that everything was yes. These measures are assumed to be sufficient. I am used to a lot by the German government that did kind of blow me. Is that sufficient? So that's all that the cornerstones, the bullet points say. There's more text, but the content isn't much more. There are not many more gaps that the Justice Ministry sees. No need, apparently, for education in police services and in the courts. So affected people and counseling services always keep reporting that they're not being listened to, that procedures are stopped. The Justice Ministry doesn't seem to care. It's all about identifying the culprits. This is the kind of chart about how this is supposed to be implemented. And the question is, how does the affected person find out about the identity of the offender? So that is the stated aim: identifying perpetrators, including cases where businesses' rights are being violated. And that is the definition that is something that is not included in any definition of digital violence that we know. And the only thing that will protect you from being identified and blocked is a judge, and we know that judges don't have a lot of time and expertise, so they try to sign everything. They tend to sign everything. So there's a mission creep. Of course, the appetites will be raised in governments, and we do see this in the restaurant review area, which is actually mentioned in the law. A completely new idea. And Also, this law in the long term will make more drastic forms of digital violence, make it invisible, because the assumption will be that the law is in place. So what this law deals with is what digital violence is, and we will see what then actually comes out in the draft law. It is said to be due to be published in the first quarter of next year, next 3 months. So one word about account blockages, that seems to be a good idea. If there are massive attacks, then account blockages might help quickly. No one has to be identified, because you see what's emanating from these accounts. So it has to be quick, and accounts will might change. So these other accounts may have to be blocked as well. And that is what people also already did remark. So this form of identifying the culprit through their IP address and then going to the platform and then eventually knowing who it is and then prosecuting them and then making demands with the courts, well, that takes a long time, because there might be a whole group of accounts attacking me, and that has to be stopped quickly. And that is the idea behind account blockages. And that was actually a reasonable idea. But what the Ministry of Justice is proposing here takes a long, long time, because they are mainly talking about penalizing the offenders and not really helping the victims. And that leads me to what the EU is planning. The Scientific Service of the European Parliament estimated in 2021 that the cost of gender-specific, gender-based violence was about between 49 and 89 billion euro. And so there's a loss of lower quality of life. That is the largest share, then missing tax revenue, productivity losses. Seems like a bit of a cynical perspective. I had a double take when I saw this, but this is the perspective that gets things moving in the EU and that might get a legislation process rolling. And that is actually what happened on the 8th of March, the International Women's Day. There are 2 days in the year where these things are looked at. That's the 8th of March, and then the 25th of November, the day of about violence against women. And the other days of the year, these things tend to not be looked at anyway. That was when the draft directive to combat violence against women was introduced. So digital various things, including digital cyber mobbing, were to be made a crime, and blockages were supposed to be enabled, and police services were supposed to be given the necessary equipment and knowledge. Counseling services were to be equipped, funded, and review every 3 years, and education in police services made compulsory. That actually is a comprehensive approach, and that actually puts the victims into the spotlight too. Back to the Lady Bitch Ray example, the rapper who was affected, and the court recordings by invisible mini cameras. The draft directive is now in the trilogue negotiations between the institutions of the EU, and one point here to be discussed is whether making the material publicly accessible would be a criterion. Would it only be a crime if the material was shared publicly, not in a large chat or Telegram group, or not just by being shared with colleagues? So the devil is still in the detail here. There's a lot of attention that is still necessary to the draft and the negotiations, but not enough people are looking at it at the moment. So we do need to raise attention here, because this is, again, violence against women, not an issue not that is at the center of our debate here, but it is related to digital violence, and people will try to have this implemented before the EU elections in May. What else is happening? BSI, the Agency on Internet Security in Germany, is looking at it as well, and they're starting a dialogue. And the BSI tweeted about digital violence, not the Mastodon account of the BSI. In that case, I would have taken the screenshot from there. So that, again, is the federal agency, on a network agency. And it now sounds quite different to what we had 5 years ago when we had the first parliamentary inquiry and when we asked whether the BSI, which is about information and raising awareness in the public and warning against malware, that's what they're supposed to use, but also various aspects of digital violence. And at the time, the response was not our department. Questions that are not related to security and information technology are not part of the responsibility of the BSI. That was expected, but sad. 2 years later, we, as the left party, called for for the build-up of technical competence centers that support counseling services and consumers, and that should be under the remit of that agency. That was rejected in Parliament at the time, but now we have such an institution, and the BSI is actively tweeting about violence, and sometimes, therefore, things move in the right direction. And I've heard that many competent people are part of this work stream that was started, this dialogue, and let's hope that something will actually happen. And that gets me to what is still missing.
Instead of just looking on how victims can protect themselves easier, also looking at how to make it harder for perpetrators. This is like these implementing security features for software products. There was a project on this topic last year. Of course, asking for money for council services is one thing, but they are always badly addressed with money, and they don't have time and money to get these competences all the time. That's another job they have to do, to know what application setting has to be like, what or how I could find a malware on my operating system. There have to be central places where these council organizations can go. So we had this project, and the result was, yes, we need to already think about that in the development of those tools. Like, smartphones don't even have a good user agreement, so maybe that can be changed as well. The women's centers coordination also published these guidelines that I also gladly take. They also say we need head centers on technical competence, not just one, but everywhere federally. There has to be enough money for women's centers and centers, saying how much we are able to pay people, and that's just doesn't fit how much IT people usually get paid. And that's another point of contention. An expert on digital violence, not only in council places or women's centers, and experts locally who can translate this for the victims and look for reasons. And basic knowledge with police and justice department, we all know we go to the police, we report something like this happened on the web, and maybe this changed in some places, but it's not good enough yet. There also needs to be training for police and the justice system. There is IT law, and, like cyber plaintiffs, and one of them explained to me that he's there for cyber stuff, so it's like IT security for corporations, but not cyber crime against singular people. What do we also still need? We talked about that empirical data, maybe that will happen, and it's scandalous that it didn't happen so far. And there we can have many more surveys at university. I'm always interested if you know some or hear about some. I'm always happy about it, because it's not that easy to know what survey happens where, what project is where. There needs to be a complete thought about this, instead of these small projects here and there. There needs to be a modern digital perspective on the topic violence and digital violence that takes the complete problem into view, because there's not a lot of help. This project by some Hexen, I wanted to talk about that. You can find it under antistalking.hexen.org. There's a lot of how-tos, guides for different questions that aren't always that easily answered, but also exemplary situations, like the student always knows where I am, but how does he know that, and how can I change my digital behavior to get to know that. If you actually know there's tech in your car, that's not that that hard, but if you don't even know that your iPhone has a localizing feature or AirTag or whatever, that's not as easy, especially if other phenomena of violence are also involved and you have more problems than only that. There's this website, it's very helpful, and thanks for that. And I also want to thank others. I'm not working on this alone. There's a lot of other people engaged with this topic, which is good for my work. And I'm pretty sure I forgot some, which I'm sorry for, but thank you, everyone. And that's that.
Ja, mega. Danke, liebe Anne.
Mega. Schön. Thanks, Anne.
Ja, wir haben noch ein bisschen Zeit für
We have Fragen. A little time for questions. There are four microphones in the room.
Und wir haben schon die erste Frage.
And there's the first question, microphone number two.
Danke für deinen Vortrag. Ich habe eine Frage zu den
thanks for the talk. What about the account blockages? The Digital Services Act is only talking about blocking content. Is there like a thing that makes it possible to make account blockages, or will Germany possibly be sued for doing this? I can really say it for the DSA, but after the points on violence against women was also talking about this, I think this is made possible. I think how the law on digital violence will be in relation to this draft, I don't know, and I'm also questioning myself, will the EU do this? Is that the plan? But I don't actually know, and I'm interested to see how they solve that. Yeah, there's a question from Neuland, from the internet. It's asking, are there methods to find these hidden cameras, and how can you protect from them? Yeah, this... some people in Austria would also have liked to know that. Yeah, I think there's a talk about that with some lens function, with reflections from the small lens that it has somewhere. Yeah, I don't really know. There are some methods that people put out that say these are helpful or tools. I'm following this not as closely. I think that also changes a lot with how the manufacturers of the cameras change. I don't actually know, maybe you could find this on the web. But I also think that basically, fundamentally, you won't find everything, and maybe they are like on the floor, but under toilet seats. There was a movement in Korea by women who marched on the streets because this was a giant problem. And if there's a secure option, we would know them. I can add to that. I'm Inga Börting from the Institute for Techniques and Journalism in Berlin. We tried some apps to find these small cameras on our own. Like, we ordered some cameras and then searched for them and didn't have the household remedies are pretty bad. And there's some anti-spy equipment with multiple $1,000 that might work, but you can't really afford that in most cases. What about these cameras? Are they in the web? There's a lot of stuff. The data security law bans a very specific thing, which is recording devices hidden in household devices. And that's banned, like a baby doll that was banned, and everyone was sad because they banned a toy. Other things are not banned, and both exist. There is a memory card, and there's stuff that streams video wirelessly. Thanks for your support. You should have stood here with me, because you're also doing a lot of work. So thanks for that.
Wir haben noch Mikrofon Nummer 3, bitte.
Wenn ich das jetzt richtig verstehe, soll ja, wenn ich gegen einen Account vorgehen will, ich erst die Person identifiziere.
If I have understood this correctly, if I want to prosecute someone, I do have to identify them before.
Das heißt, dass wir uns da auch einhandeln, dass ich unberechtigterweise jede Menge dieser Accounts de-anonymisieren kann.
Does that mean that in the process of doing that, many accounts will be de-anonymized? Yes, that could happen. So there is a court process between that. A judge will look at it. That is meant to work like that. So just because you come and say you want to have them identified, that does not automatically mean that that's going to happen, but the danger is definitely there.
Ja, die meisten existierenden Gesetzesvorschläge oder existierenden Gesetze sind sehr plattformregulierend oder accountsperrend, aber die Betroffenen werden weniger in den Fokus gesetzt.
Most laws focus on the platform and the account blockage itself and not really on the victims. So, can you say a bit more about what we can do for the victims?
Ich würde sagen, Beratungsstellen unterstützen, weil ich glaube, viele von denen, die
Support of contact points and counseling options.
Um jetzt mal dieses typische Beispiel.
So for everyone who is in that position, domestic violence, threatened by stalking or domestic violence.
Typisches Setting sozusagen digitales Stalking durch Bekannte.
Different thing. Digital stalking is very specific.
Natürlich in einer massiven Stresssituation.
But that is immensely stressful for the victims.
Primär an eine Beratungsstelle wenden.
And they will probably hope to have a counseling point to go to.
Wahnsinnig schlecht aus.
And these counseling options are very unwell founded.
Vermutung ist, aber das müsste vielleicht auch nochmal besprochen werden, dass das fast eher aber von Fachpersonal genutzt wird.
So my assumption is, but that's my personal assumption that these counseling points are contacted by healthcare professionals and not really the victims themselves. So the victim will probably not start to go Googling and investing time to find out, but they want to go to a counseling point.
Sozusagen immer Aufmerksamkeit weckt, ist sexualisierte Gewalt gegen Kinder. Und ich muss sagen, das finde ich richtig so. Das
so ist what always gets a big shout in the media is sexualized violence against children, which is the only correct thing to do, to have that creates a big outcry.
Aber sobald sozusagen die Menschen 18 werden, guckt überhaupt niemand mehr hin, weil das
as soon as we turn 18, nobody's interested anymore. So it's very hard to pull focus on the whole topic of femicide and digital violence in relationships or digital stalking. The interest is way too low.
Ja, jetzt sehe ich gerade nicht. Mikrofon 3, haben wir da noch eine Frage? Oder du stehst nur noch da? Perfekt, dann haben wir noch mal Mikrofon 2, bitte.
Ja, ich hätte noch einen Hinweis zum Thema Auffindbarkeit, und zwar nicht bei Kameras, sondern bei AirTags.
Not a question, but a comment. So how to detect AirTags?
Unbekannte AirTags zu suchen.
In the iPhone, you can detect unknown AirTags. It's easily, Google it, you'll find out how to do it. That is also possible not only for iPhones, but also for Android devices. The app is called AirGuard, probably. Look it up. The challenge with that is it has to run continuously in the background for it to work properly. And the people developing these tags say they peep occasionally, so you should know when someone drops it in your purse. But the beep is very low and only very occasional. So yeah, as soon as you are home, maybe you only will hear the first beep then, and by then the person who dropped it in your purse already knows where you live. If you are afraid or you have the assumption that you are being stalked, it's definitely recommendable to use such an app, but most of us probably, hopefully, do not. And it does not solve the problem. Thank you so much, Anne, for this talk. Big round of applause for you.
Yeah, thanks for listening to our interpretation.